Last Sunday we looked at Jesus' family tree. Today we want to look at His birthplace at Bethlehem. Something you might find very interesting about Bethlehem. A major war broke out because they couldn't agree about how to decorate the church, the nativity, and countries went to war through it. I don't know if you know that. Let me explain. The silver star hanging over the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem was the cause of a war which involved five world powers, lasted 3 long years, and caused 1 million deaths. For many years, the silver star had been an object of controversy. And if you read this, the bickering and arguing over how to decorate the church's nativity. And it really zeroed on where to put this big silver star. And this silver star became an object of controversy. See, the Eastern Orthodox Church wanted to replace the Christmas star with a star of their own. But the Roman Catholic Church objected. The Eastern Orthodox Church was backed by Russia. The Roman Catholic Church was backed by France. When Turkey, which ruled the Holy Land at that time, sided with the Roman Catholic Church and said, "We will have your star hanging there," Russia, which backed the Orthodox Church, declared war on Turkey. Great Britain, France, and Italy then rallied to Turkey's side. And finally, the war was won. This war is known as the Crimean War of 1853 to 1856. 1 million people were killed in that Crimean War, which started over how to decorate the place where Jesus was born to bring us peace in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the place where Christ condescended to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, became the source of conflict, resulting in 1 million deaths. Today, if you are to mention Bethlehem, warm feelings come over as we think about this wonderful story. Name a certain city, and certain feelings will come out. Ask the Kennedy family, what do you think about when you hear the name Dallas? What do you think comes to their mind? The assassination of John F. Kennedy. But when we think of Bethlehem, what do we think of? Well, that's where Jesus was born. But why choose Bethlehem before He was born? Why Bethlehem? Well, it was prophesied, and that's the major reason. We're going to assume that that's the major reason why Jesus was born. It was prophesied He would be born there. But other than that, are there any other reasons why God would choose Bethlehem of all places? If you asked a Jew years ago, what comes to your mind when you hear the name Bethlehem? What do you think would come to their minds? If you went back far enough, what would come to their minds is, that's where Rachel's tomb is. Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. And Rachel and Leah were Jacob's wives. Leah kept pumping out kids. Rachel had none. Rachel finally cried out, "Give me children or I'll die." That's quite a prayer to cry out. First of all, she said that to Jacob, "Give me children or I die." Later on, it says in that same chapter, and God heard her cry. She must have cried out to God, "Give me children or I'll die." Well, she ended up having Joseph. God heard her, opened her womb, she had Joseph. Then, as they are traveling on their way, later on, she is with child with another boy. And it's time for her delivered as she is just approaching Bethlehem. and the baby is born, and through the difficulty of childbirth, she dies. And her last gasping breath, having just delivered this little baby boy, she named the boy Ben-Oni, which means man of sorrows. And Jacob said, that's not a very good name to name a little boy. For the rest of your life, you run around saying, I'm a man of sorrow. I caused my mother's death. So Jacob said, we will not name him Ben-Oni. We will name him Benjamin, son of my right hand. This happened just outside the gates of Bethlehem. And that's where Rachel died, and that's where she was buried. And so forever, Bethlehem was known as the place of Rachel's tomb. Does that remind you of Jesus? The man of sorrows, the Ben-Oni, and seated at the right hand of the Father. You can start to see a picture developing why God chose Bethlehem. Sometime later in Israel history, one more story. David is in the cave of Adullam. He's fighting against the Philistines. The pressure's on. And as David is in his stronghold, and of course, one of the things you are always looking for when you are in the Middle East is water. David said, oh, that I could just have a drink from the well at Bethlehem. I used to drink the water there. And in a time of great distress and thirst, he yearns and said, I wish I could have water from the well of Bethlehem. And three brave soldiers broke through Philistine ranks and went those 20 miles and snuck to that well at close to the gate of Bethlehem. And they drew water out of it and they snuck back through enemy territory back to the cave to bring David his water from the well of Bethlehem. He didn't know they were doing this. He was so surprised when they brought him this pail of water from Bethlehem. He couldn't drink it. He said, you risked your life just so I could have a drink? And the Bible says he poured it out. And he said, this isn't water. This is blood. My friends sacrificed their lives almost for this. But that water was so important to him that when he was really thirsty, when he was really at the end and he longed for some comfort food, it was the water from Bethlehem. Didn't Jesus come to be that living water for each one of us? And just the nuances that are there when you start seeing the history and why that place was so important to them. God chose Bethlehem for especially those two reasons. And I'm grateful for the various wells God has put in my life. I have some wells. I have the well of a good upbringing. I look back at my good old days. Those were fun days. I'm thankful for the well of relatives. I'm thankful for the well of a Christian family. I'm thankful for the well of the local church where I've been nourished and I have grown in my faith along with brothers and sisters in the Lord. I am grateful for the well of prayer. And I'm grateful for the well of Scripture. God has given me many wells. God has given all of us many wells. And this well ought to remind us we have many wells, but the greatest well is the living water of Jesus Christ. Well, the first reason why God chose Bethlehem was because of its history. Rachel's tomb and the well at close to the gate. Secondly, because of its abundant harvest area. Bethlehem was originally known as Ephratah. The name Ephratah means fruitful. It became Bethlehem, and it became known, Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. This is where, this is a bit of a barley growing region in the fields, where there, at least where there were fields. Some of you might remember in Ruth chapter 1 verse 22, when Ruth the Moabitess came back to Israel because she had left because of famine. She came back, and where did she come back to? The Bible says in Ruth chapter 1 verse 22, she came back to Bethlehem for the barley harvest. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Isn't it fitting that Jesus would call himself the bread of life, having come to the house of bread? And Jesus said, if you'll eat of my bread, you will never hunger. You eat of this bread of Bethlehem, you will hunger again. But if you eat of me, you will never hunger again. George Mueller was a man who spent a great deal of time building orphanages by faith in England. And he had a remarkable history of stories of miracles how God provided through prayer. And this is what he said. He said, the first duty of every Christian is to find their soul satisfied with God. And he never ate breakfast in the morning till he had read God's word and found his soul satisfied in God. And once he had done that, then he had breakfast. Because he recognized where his real nourishment came from. That came from the Lord. Jesus is that bread for the soul. That's why Bethlehem, house of bread. I am the living bread. Thirdly, because Bethlehem was a royal city. And the announcement given, for to you is born this day in the city of David. It was known as a royal city. It's the city of David. I think the NIV says town. Literally, in the Greek, it is city. It's called City of David. It's a royal place, so they call it City of David. David was born close to Bethlehem. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. But if you live 5 miles out of town, and somebody says, where are you from? Especially if somebody from a different part of Canada, you say, well, I'm from Claresholm. Ask David, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Bethlehem. Oh, he's born just outside. But that was his hometown. It was the place that was known where David was born. And it was to David that God gave the promise and said, someday in your family tree, you will have a son who will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And so Jesus was born in a town close to where David was born, the royal city. And that's why we have a Christmas carol called Once in Royal David's City. Fourth reason why Bethlehem was chosen, because of its size. We read earlier in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, though you are small among the clans. The King James actually says, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. The reason that it's worded that way is because if you read in the Old Testament back in the book of Joshua, when it lists all the cities and the various land that was conquered and that was given to various sons and divided up to tribes, Bethlehem is not mentioned. It's not mentioned. Why? It was too small to mention. It was too small a place. It's only 5 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place of activity. That's where the temple was. Jerusalem got all the press. Nothing ever happened at Bethlehem. It was too small for anything to happen. Name certain cities and you have certain connotations with it. Jericho. Oh, it conjures up pictures. Hebron. Jerusalem. But where is Bethlehem? Too small to be among the clans of Judah. But doesn't God like to take little things and perform great miracles out of it? Doesn't God like to take the 5 little loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands? Doesn't God like to take a small, insignificant place and do some of his greatest works? God chose Bethlehem because it was too small. Be known for anything. God says that's a good place to do something great. That's just how God is. And fifthly, God chose Bethlehem because of its location. It's close to shepherds. A couple of miles east of Bethlehem is where the shepherds' fields were. And in the surrounding hills around Bethlehem, there were the grazing fields. It was in God's plans that the first people to visit Jesus would be the shepherds. Shepherds were lowly. They were largely despised. People who didn't take baths for months. Someone visited a Bedouin shepherd place and talked to one of the Bedouin shepherds and inquired about what it was like to be there for, you know, weeks and weeks on end without going anywhere else. And often at night, they might take in some of the goats or the sheep into the tent with them. And the Bedouin was asked, "How do you put up with something like that?" And the Bedouin replied, "No problem, the goats get used to it." In other words, sometimes the shepherds smell more than the animals do when you haven't had a shower for that long. If you were downwind 500 meters from shepherds, you'd probably know about it. And these are the people God chose to be His special guests. Not only do you have shepherds, but that means you've got sheep. And isn't it appropriate that Jesus was born where sheep were born and raised? In fact, it is the belief of most people that the sheep that were there being raised were temple sheep. They were being raised there for the purpose of sacrifices at the temple. How fitting that Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, was born just outside shepherd's field in Bethlehem. How fitting that Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world, should be born at a place where sheep were raised. As we look at this story of Bethlehem, there's two observations I have out of this. One is this. We see here the unpredictability of God. God is a God of surprises. God enjoys taking that which is least and most unlikely and using it for His glory. You can never predict when God will use someone or something mightily. I've mentioned this a number of times, but I just keep coming back to this illustration. I remember sitting in seminary, and boy, there's some pretty bright lights in class. And you always think, well, they're going to go places. You know, after a few years, you hear about, well, that one went sideways, and that one went sideways. And you hear some of the very common students, the ones that didn't have that didn't have the highest marks. And they're the ones that God is using to do some miraculous things in various places around the world. Just very ordinary students God placed His hands on. Today, God's grace goes to the broken and to the marginalized. And I think particularly of Pat Nixon. Street kid. A couple of men from First Baptist downtown Calgary pulled him off the street and poured into his life. Broken kid. Full of addictions. Just broken. A street person. They poured into his life. It was at a little place called the Burning Bush, First Baptist. He poured into his life. He accepted Christ. God began to work in his life. And he ended up, to make a long story short, became the CEO of Mustard Seed Ministries. Received a Governor General's Award. And has done huge things. Raised millions of dollars for Mustard Seed Ministries. And God just mightily took this broken person and made him a bright light in Calgary. That is what God loves to do. Taking broken people and shining through them and healing them. And so we see the surprises of God, the unpredictability of God. And secondly, that leads us to celebrate the grace of God. We can't fathom how far Jesus came to redeem us. In heaven, nobody asked, who's Jesus? Who's that on the throne? Oh, they're all bowing down and worshiping and praising Him. Myriads and myriads of angels and elders, and the Bible just pictures everyone in heaven worshiping Him. And He came to a place too small to be mentioned as a clan in Judah. Who is He? He's born where? Yes, this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, born in Hicksville, Israel. Born among the lowly. That's the grace of God, because He came to minister to the broken. We call this the great humility of God, that God would humble Himself, leave His glorious eternal throne, and come and be born in a town too small to be even called a clan of Judah. And there He touched earth to bring His healing. The name Christopher means Christ bearer. Some of you will remember the name Christopher Hitchens, the famous atheist who died just a few years ago. He was born in England, but did a lot of his work in the States as well. He was a journalist, a writer, he was a commentator, author, just a lot of things. Very intellectual, but a devout atheist. He loved to debate people about religion. And in the process, he debated many Christians too. And generally, Christians would say that Christians won the debate. But Christopher Hitchens liked the publicity because it helped sell his books. And his most famous book is God is Not Great. And he was diagnosed with cancer, and he died here a few years ago. Before he died, he made the statement. He said, I want you to know that if you hear that somewhere I had a deathbed conversion, he says, don't believe it. Either blame it on chemotherapy or blame it on drugs. But he said, I am an atheist and I hereby declare myself dead right now, just in case later on become a Christian. He says, I am dead right now. Whatever happens to me afterwards, that's not true. It's not real. He hated religion that much. And he would say to Christians, quit praying for me. Why would you bother praying to the deaf ears of a God that doesn't exist? And then Christopher Hitchens said something else. He says, quote, I don't expect to meet anything on the other side, but then I do like surprises. Isn't it interesting that atheists, deep down inside, when it comes to that, there's always that little bit. But I wonder, I know there's nothing there, but wow, there is. Well, I'll be surprised. I'll tell you what, Christopher Hitchens was surprised. But it is not the surprise we would wish on him. Because anybody who dies rejecting Christ is bound for hell. And if he did not accept Christ on his deathbed, which he vowed he wouldn't, but was afraid he might, if he did ask Jesus to have mercy, the Lord would have mercy. That is the grace of God. God is willing to redeem us in our last breath. That's our God. That's why He came to rescue us from spiritual darkness and spiritual death. And Jesus is the only sin bearer in the world that can bring us to God. And that's why, as we come to a close, and we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem in a moment, Phillips Brooks was right when he wrote, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. It was back in 1858. Phillips Brooks, who was a pastor of, I think it was an Episcopalian church in Philadelphia, took a trip to the Holy Land. He was there over the Christmas season. And on Christmas Eve, he rented a horse at Jerusalem. And he rode to Bethlehem, and there he rode out towards Shepherd's Fields. And he spent the evening gazing at the skies, gazing at the surroundings, being in wonder that shepherds and sheep would have been on this field. And as the darkness would descend and the stars were twinkling, that suddenly there would be this heavenly visitation. And he pondered the awe of being in that place. Well, he made sure he was back in time for 10 o'clock at the Church of the Nativity. And that building was built somewhere around 326 A.D. It's been there a long time. It's been broken a number of times, rebuilt again. But there was a Christmas Eve service happening that evening at the place where Jesus was born. In fact, if any of you have been there at the Church of the Nativity, if you go downstairs, go down the steps, and they will have a big star, I've been there, cemented out in the basement, and they say, "This is the spot where Jesus was born." I'm not sure you can be that particular and say, on this square meter, this is where Jesus was born. But as he went to that place, church started at 10, it lasted till 3 o'clock in the morning. He had the most awesome time at the Church Nativity, celebrating the coming of the Lord Jesus. He was so profoundly impacted by his experience at Bethlehem, at the Church of the Nativity, that when he came home next year, for the next year's Christmas, he decided to write a song. And the words kept ringing in his mind, "O little town of Bethlehem, O little town of Bethlehem." Funny words came to him. He wrote the words, gave them to his music director of the church, Mr. Redner, and said, "I want you to write some music. We've got Christmas coming, and I want you to write music. We're going to sing this Christmas Eve." And Mr. Redner wrestled with it, but one night, an inspiration from God came, and he got up in the middle of the night, and in 4 hours, he had the entire music written for the song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And that Christmas Eve, for the first time, that song was sung at that church. It was a brand new song. He and his music director sang the song. It was such a huge hit. It's been an inspiration ever since. At a celebration to the coming of our Lord, I'm going to ask our music people to come and lead us in that very familiar song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."